Amen. Thank you, Miss Addison. Amen. All right. Well, he's all I need. How true that is. Listen, some of you would leave here relieved today, and you would leave here with less burden today if you really got a grasp of that truth, because you have need, but you're searching and you're grasping for here and there to meet that need that's in your life. If you only realize that he's all you need, you'd leave here quite different today. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I want to make two announcements, though, while you're turning there, and I still hear pages rustling. Friday, May 5th, ladies, you need to write this down, and I have an announcement for ladies and men, and this is going to be encouragement for both of you. Friday, May 5th at 6:30 p.m., there'll be ladies' fellowship on Friday, May 5th at 6:30 p.m. I know there'll be announcements on the slides behind us during between our times of service and after service. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. And men, there'll also be a sign-up sheet, and Joe will be back there to sign you up for the last Thursday of each month, the men's fellowship, the Liberty Men. So plan on being a part of that. And listen, you can't just come on Sunday mornings and get everything. You need fellowship with the ladies and men. You need fellowship with the men. And it's encouraging to be with one another. So be here on that Thursday night and on that for the men, and then Friday, May 5th for the ladies. So we thank you for that. Luke 10, I want you to think on this thought. I want you to think on faith and works. Faith and works, that's a theme that's found many times throughout Scripture. But I want us to look at it's really not even a parable. The Bible doesn't tell us it's a parable. I think it's really a true story. And Jesus didn't use names, but he laid it out there as truth. We're all familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan, but often only half the story is told. So let's look in Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. And the Bible says this, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law, and how readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto him, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave it to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. You may be seated. May God add the blessing to the reading of his word. Now listen, I want you to really to look at this text with me, and we have to keep it in context. There are some who attempt to spiritualize this passage of Scripture, they try to make the Good Samaritan as a picture of Jesus Christ, and the man that was traveling who was robbed and left for dead as a picture of the sinner dead in his sins. And it's a beautiful allegory if you paint it that way. But if you're going to do that with Scripture, then you can do that to the whole Bible. You can just kind of read into it what you want to be there. I think we're supposed to take it literal, and that's what we want to do in this text right here. But so we've all heard the story of the Good Samaritan. We understand that story. But we have to take into account this discussion with this lawyer at the beginning of this narrative, this conversation Jesus is having. Now, this man is he's not just a lawyer, but literally, if you study out that term in that Greek language, you're going to find out that what he really was he was a student of the Bible. He was the theologian, if you will. And so he comes to Jesus and he asks him this question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, let me say something. If you will study the Gospels out, you're going to find out that some 19 times in one way or the other, Jesus was asked this question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, friend, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that that's a question we don't hear being asked too often anymore. You don't hear it being asked much inside the church, and you don't hear it much being talked about outside the church. It is the most important question that you could ever ask the Lord from your heart to Him. And it's the most important question you can ever ask yourself: what must I do to be saved or to inherit eternal life? Now, friends, listen to me. Some 19 times we see that in Scripture. Some 19 times we see people so concerned about their soul and about eternity that they ask that question. Just recently, a couple of weeks ago, I think I told you I had to put down our trusty, faithful best friend, our dog, Duke. He was right at 17 years old, or a little over 17 maybe, and had a long and a blessed life. And, you know, we can go on and on about our lifelong pets and all that. See me after church, I'll pull out my cell phone and show you pictures. Don't you love when people do that? And so I've put down a lot of hunting dogs. That's, I don't know, something different to me. I've even had to put some of them actually down myself. But Duke, he was a part of the family. I mean, he's all the girls I'd ever known for 17 years. He's a fixture in the Sedaris household. All you had to do for 17 years was look down, and somewhere there was Duke. He was always there. And so I had prayed that the Lord, just let him lay down and go to sleep and let him die while he's sleeping. In fact, the Sunday I had to take him to North Carolina and have put down, he had had some little heart attacks, I guess you might say, but I had picked him up where he had had one of those, laid him on his bed, and after church he was still laying in that same position. He hadn't even moved, and he hadn't died. He was still alive and so forth. But I struggled with this. I struggled with, who am I to say today's the day? What if he lives another week? What if he lives another month? I mean, he had really gone as far as he could go, and I could get into that. But anyway, and so I was like, I don't want to call the shot on this and put him down today if he's going to live a whole lot longer. So we got to the vet, and the vet assured me that it was the right time, the right place, and all that stuff. And then he made this statement. He said, it's better to put him down a week too early than a day too late. And he began to describe what it would be like a day too late, where they've been called out to people's houses and it's just a bad situation. But nevertheless, so I felt at ease with that. I'm just sharing that with you. It didn't cost you a dime for me to share all that personal stuff with you. I promise you I'm going somewhere with it. It's better to put them down a week too early than a day too late. Well, friend, listen to me. I want to tell you something. When it comes to asking yourself, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to be saved? My friend, listen to me. You better not be a day too late when it comes to that. I told Wednesday night, I believe it was, about a man who's about 50 years old who's dying. And his two daughters were standing by his bedside, and he was at a place where he was pretty much unresponsive. All he could do was roll back and forth and moan just a little bit. But they had never seen any evidence of salvation from their dad. And now, while he's in his dying moments, they were worried about whether or not he had ever been saved. And they wanted to be sure that he give his life to Jesus before he actually died.
And I didn't have it in my heart to let them know. And I prayed God would give that man a second chance. But I didn't have it in my heart to let them know that by all appearances, it looks like it's a day too late. They said the day before he had been talking and it was good. They wished I'd have been there the day before. But friend, listen to me. I wasn't. And so this is something you don't want to wait a day too late on. And mom and dad, let me ask you this. Why are we not asking our kids this? Do you know for sure that you've been saved? Are you sure about that? Yeah, Mama, I remember I went down front during Bible school. That's not what we're talking about, Mom. Yeah, Daddy, I remember when I got baptized. That's not what we're talking about, Dad. I'm talking about we need to be asking our children and having a serious discussion when they're of the appropriate age about have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? See, some of you as moms and dads right now, you think because your children go to church that they are fine and they're on their way to heaven. I got news for you. Coming to church doesn't mean you're on your way to heaven, nor does it mean you're saved. It's a good place to get saved. Are you with me this morning? Listen, Duke, when he was able, his heart got bad last 3 or 4 years, but when he was able, I would leave the house, walk over to study on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoons, during the week, whenever it was, and he would come with me. And we'd walk all the way through the yard, across the parking lot. We would come up that ramp. Now, he's clean. He ain't got fleas, nothing like that, so don't get all out of sorts on this. But we'd come up that ramp, come into that foyer. I would come through that door right there. He knew every turn to make, where to turn right, where to turn left. We come through that door. He would know ahead of me to turn left and cut across that break in the pews. He knew we were going through that door, and he knew to go all the way back to the old fellowship hall and hang a right and turn right in there where my office was, and he would stand and wait for me to unlock my office door and walk in, and I would go in there, shut the door. He would jump on the couch and lay down until I finished what I was doing. Man, I'm telling you, this dog knew his way around the church. But that doesn't mean he was saved. Nor could he ever be. But you and I, we have a soul. We're going to live forever somewhere. We're either going to spend eternity in heaven with him or eternity in hell away from him and forever separated from the Lord above. And so simply knowing your way around the church, that doesn't get you saved, my friend. So this lawyer asked, what must I do to be saved? What do I got to do, Lord? And the Lord said, well, you're a master of the law. You studied God's word. You're a pro at studying God's word. You tell me what you got to do. And the man said this. The man said, well, because he's very well studied in God's word, like he knew when to stand when Amazing Grace was sung, and he knew when to bow his head when it was time to pray, and he knew how to dig out his wallet or his tithe check when the offering plate come around. Like he was well-versed and well-schooled. He just didn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so he says, well, Lord, it's like this. It's written in the law. Love the Lord thy God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my might, all my strength, and love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus says, well, you've spoken well. And see what Jesus knew, he knew the heart. And he knew that the man was only speaking with lip service, that he had no personal relationship with Christ himself. And so the Lord said, well, you've said very well, so why don't you go and just do those things? And instead of the man saying this, well, Lord, I can't do these things. It's impossible, Lord, for any man to love you for a lifetime with all of his mind, all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his might. Lord, I do love you, but I failed at doing that with all of my heart, all of my might, and all of my strength. I failed, Lord, so Lord, have mercy on me. And instead of asking Christ for mercy, that man then decides he wants to justify himself and argue with the Lord about what does it take to get into heaven. And so the Lord says, you've spoken well, just do it. And the man says, and then the man says to justify himself, well, Lord, now that we're talking about this, who really is my neighbor? Points of discussion. Matters that don't really matter when we're talking about salvation. And so the Lord then goes into a deeper conversation with this man. And this is where you and I know the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now I'm going somewhere, stay with me. And so what Jesus basically told the man is this, is yes, you're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all of thy might. Love your neighbor as yourself. And where the man should have went with that was this, Lord, I can't do it alone. I can't do it to the best of my ability. I can't do it. I need you to help me. In other words, he needed to say, I can't get to heaven on my own. I know that you have come to be my Messiah, my shepherd, my Savior, and I need you. But he wanted to justify himself, so he wanted to argue the finer points. And so he began to argue the finer points. The story's told to D.L. Moody. I read this in his, I have a book called Moody's Anecdotes. And it's from 1895, and it's basically just a little diary that Moody wrote himself. And in that book, he describes how he was called to come preach at a big convention that they were having there in Chicago. And as he told the story, he said that God had pressed on his spirit to call Ira Sankey, who was his choir leader at Moody Memorial. And he said, I need you to meet me down on 10th Street on the corner at 6 p.m. And be there sharp and promptly. And Ira Sankey said he showed up, and he said Moody had a little booth, and he told Ira Sankey, he said, I want you to get up there, and I want you just to start singing. And he got up there, and he started singing about Jesus, and before long, a crowd of thousands had gathered around. And Moody then stood up and he announced, he said, if you want to hear more of what we're singing about and what's going on, follow us to the convention center. And thousands showed up at the convention center where Moody stood up and Moody preached Jesus and lifted Jesus high and lifted up. And then at the end of his sermon, he got done as convention leaders were coming into the convention and ready to start that meeting, wondering why the thousands was there. And Moody got up and made an announcement, and he said, now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll finish what we've started here, but first, these convention leaders want to get on stage and teach us tonight about how to draw the masses. See, we're interested in all of the side discussions, and our interest is on, well, did this committee do this, or did this committee do that? Or is the preacher doing this, or is the preacher doing that, or did they sing, should they be singing this song, or should they be singing that song, or yik-yak, yik-yak, and yik-yak, and yik-yak. Are you with me? That's all Greek for nonsense. The real discussion ought to be is, who needs to be saved? The real discussion ought to be, who can we pray for that's lost and never been saved? The real discussion needs to be, what have I got to do to be saved? What have I got to do to inherit eternal life? What have I got to do to be born again? And so watch what happens. So Jesus, he's clearly talking about faith and salvation. And then he takes this man, when the man wants to argue about salvation, and he says this. He says, well, I'm going to tell you who your neighbor is. He said there was this man, and from Jerusalem to Jericho, he began to travel, which is a very dangerous road, and he got on that road. And while he was going down that road, he was met by a bunch of robbers and thieves, and they robbed the man and stripped him naked, and they beat him nearly half to death. And they left him that way. And then along comes a priest and sees that man laying there. And when that priest sees that man laying there, that priest says, mm-mm. No, he's a preacher. He's nasty. He's messy. He don't look like usual church people. I'm not going to fool with him. I'm going to leave him in the roadside. So this preacher just kept going and went to the other side of the road. Then there's this Levite. We could say a Levite, well, he was a deacon in the church. Like he served in the church. He was like an associate pastor, if you will. He come along and he sees that man in that deplorable condition. He's like, I don't want to do that. That's just not a clean situation. I'm going to stay clear of it, and I'm just going to keep going the way I'm going. Well, and then the Bible says a Samaritan come along. And I can't help but notice the some 10 or 12 things this Samaritan did for this individual. The Bible says that when this certain Samaritan come along and saw that man, well, that he came to where he was at. He didn't go to the other side of the road. He went over there where he was at in his need. He looked on him, and the Bible says he had compassion on him. And then he went even closer to him to put his hands on him. And he bound up his wounds. He began to administer first aid to him, and he took oil and he took wine and used that as medicines to fix those wounds. And then he picked the man up and he put him on his own horse, the Bible says. And then he went as far as he took him to an inn, a place where they would take care of him. And the Bible says this man took care of this